long and healthy life.
Hey, everybody, you know how we roll here on America Tonight. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway to talk to true insiders. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. All the buzz really coming out of Washington was over the president taking out a big stick and playing whack-a-mole with the Republicans after getting beat up in Iowa and elsewhere. Rick Perry throwing in, going after Obama, Mitt Romney going after Obama, Michelle Bachmann, of course, the other side, all the Republicans. So, Victoria, what did the president have to say about the GOP?
Well, I mean, one thing that he said was when he was in the town hall meeting in Iowa later today, he was talking about the problem with deficits and debt. He went after Speaker Boehner. He said if the Speaker had taken the bargain that we were talking about, we could have solved last month. We wouldn't have gone through everything we went through over the last several weeks. But it does require compromise, and it does require some balance. But more than that, he really, then he went on, you know, basically he went after them on the debate last week. That's really where he went after them. And he actually said, I know it's not election season yet, but I just have to mention the debate. And then, of course, he references the point in the debate where they all stuck their hands up and said that they would not go for, you know, the 10 to 1, 10 tax breaks to one tax increase. And he said, think about that. That's just not common sense.
Yeah, so he called them out. Yeah.
He called them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He called them out.
And you know, that's not like him. And then he basically went after Congress in general, but you know he's not really going after the Democratic part of Congress. And he said, you've got to send a message to Washington that it's time for the games to stop. Time to put country first. Some folks in Congress would rather see their opponents lose than America win.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think this is just the beginning of this, the salvos. I think you're going to see this on both sides because that's what happens in any election year, but especially now since things got so nasty, I think, Victoria, with the debt, I think you're going to see that more than ever that from an incumbent president. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I think this is just the beginning. I mean, and I've already been asked questions today about, well, this was campaigning and the American people shouldn't have had to pay for this trip.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, the gloves are off.
Yeah, the gloves are off for sure. Let's jump to something else that was kind of funny that I think people listening to America Tonight would get a big chuckle out of. There's a talk about a bill to stop subsidizing Hollywood. Who threw that out there? And I can only imagine some of the reaction to that, of course, the laughter from the left coast. And it's just kind of intriguing because it is true. There are a lot of things that actually go through Hollywood. So tell me more about it.
Yeah, this is H.R. 2819, the Stop Subsidizing Hollywood Act. This is a specific, particular film that it's geared towards. Representative Lynn Jenkins, Republican of Kansas, is to stop the Obama administration from spending taxpayer money to share information about the killing of bin Laden with Sony Pictures. That's why.
Yeah, because the Catherine Bigelow is one of the people involved in that. She was the director of the Hurt Locker who won the Academy Award. And the Pentagon and other military folks were giving them information. It was a free flow. You know, they were asking for the authenticness of the film. They were asking for all kinds of stuff. And so, that's where it comes from.
Right. Now, the New York Times said that Catherine Bigelow got, quote, top-level access to the most classified mission in history. Jay Carney said, and I was there when he said it, that that she did not get access to anything that basically had not been thrown out in the briefing room, that no classified information had been given to her, and that the kind of information that she got was the same kind of TikTok, the same kind of information that we all got, and that this is an absolute canard that House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Peter King, Republican of New York, threw up when he started to call for an investigation into the administration for sharing so-called classified information. She's now taken it a step further, but her argument is that the bill is necessary, and this is where my head starts to explode, because the government has no role to play in helping the movie industry at a time of fiscal crisis. Now, I find this interesting because it's helping the movie industry. It's an industry that employs
people.
Being.
Yes.
With jobs.
Lots of jobs, because you have, and you have very blue-collar type workers in the movie industry, from the guys doing the lighting, the crew, the camera, all of those. You have a lot of people, even caterers, people that work on the catering trucks. That's how they survive with the movie sets.
So why wouldn't you want to help an industry? Could it be that it's because it's a frou-frou industry?
I think on that note, we're going to end, because you're right. Is Hollywood, America Tonight listeners, is Victoria right? Is it a frou-frou industry? 800-259-5791. Victoria, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, interesting. She threw in that last bit there about Hollywood and that bill saying, you know, talking about Hollywood getting money and should they get any money, et cetera. And the problem is, there are so many programs, there's so much, really, hands that are still out that probably need to be part of the great big axe that has not swung yet when we talk about spending cuts. There's such a hangover. This is the longest hangover, I can say, that I've ever seen since I've covered anything as far as politics is concerned. Coming out of Congress, this is the longest hangover I've seen, other than Monica Lewinsky and President Clinton. People are still not happy. This Congress is going to be swept up in a mass of disappointment when they go to be reelected, when they think that people are going to press the button for them, when they think people are going to touch the screen for them. I think they're sorely mistaken, because this one is not going away. There's nothing, there is no hair of the dog. I don't think there's any hair of the dog unless there was an immediate turnaround in the economy. Of course, everybody running is focusing on jobs, including the guy who had a shot at the jobs, and that would be the current president. He's out on that tour that we were talking about in the Midwest, and he's pushing the whole partisan thing again to stop the games. No more partisan games, that voters are upset, we got to reconnect, all that kind of stuff. The word he used was brinkmanship in the Capitol. He said it's just brinkmanship. You got to look it up. He said the country's broken. What did somebody tell me the other day? That it's better to use short words. And when people use long words, they do it because big words often fool little people. I don't think anybody's being fooled here, whatever the words are. There's massive debate over future generations and what's going to be left and what's coming down the pike and all that sort of stuff. So Obama's on a bus tour. What are the Republicans doing? We're going to get you up to date on that, plus a few little odds and ends. And boy, do we have a great guest coming up, Don Morrow, at the bottom of the hour. You will not want to miss this guy. If you're exhausted, prop your eyes up, because you do not want to miss it, my friends. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
In case you missed it, the Republicans, many of them anyway, not all of them were part of this, a handful certainly, Ames, Iowa, the straw poll. By now, I'm sure all of you know that Michelle Bachmann took that poll for whatever it's worth, and plenty decided to drop out of the race, the former governor of Minnesota, to focus attentions, or so it seems, on the Senate race. So he's out of it. I think there's going to be more casualties. My choice, if you remember last week, if you happen to be tuned into America Tonight, and I said, you know, who do you think wins this poll? Who do you think wins this poll? And I thought it was going to be Ron Paul, but it was not Ron Paul. He came in a very close second, however. You need a scorecard at this point, but eventually that scorecard is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So who were the last people that are probably going to be there in the end? And I think another curiosity factor, because once he was asked this immediately, would he be interested in being vice president? Boy, he shut that down quicker than he could put his feet off the podium to get out of the room. So there is no question he wants nothing to do with a VP role. It's funny, but there's something about the vice president's position. Is it because you have to prop the other guy up and you have to work as hard when you're on the campaign trail? What is it about being the vice president that it's nobody wants it? How many times? I would love to do this. I would love to figure this out. It would take me a while to do the research, and I think I could do it, but it's going to take a while to come up with it. How many people, and I don't even know if I could accurately say how many people have been offered this, but how many people in the course of our history have been offered the vice presidency and they just say, no, thank you. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. No, no, no. Not interested. No, no. Because they don't want to be that guy. They don't be the guy, even in movies they make fun of it, where they're sent off to Timbuktu and they come back with a spear or a helmet or some other tchotchke thing representative of the places where they went. You know, the old joke is, how do you get a lot of Christmas ornaments? Well, you become the vice president, and then the woman by your side will pick up those ornaments while you're meeting with the second ambassador in charge of whatever they're in charge of, right, in whatever country that where you happen to be visiting. So that's maybe why. Nobody wants to put all the wear and tear on the body just to be the second guy. Joe Biden was kind of the turning point for that, or was supposed to be, because Biden was supposed to have that significant role in the Obama White House. How many people think he has a significant role in the Obama White House? A significant role of blunder and error and pillaging some of the messages that are out there. Then he quietly goes away and then he comes back. Then he quietly goes away and then he comes back. It's like the tide. Only it's kind of hard to tell what's going to happen. If there's a full moon, Biden might get off track and then they might put him away for a while. Just go away. Go away. So now there's a big shift with the Republicans, and that's what I'm going to jump on here, on the heels of the president taking a big swing at the Republicans and in general, also the politicians, that it has to be a compromise, and there has to be an effort and all that sort of stuff. So the candidates that are going to take place, or that did take place, rather, in the debate in Iowa, if you remember, I mean, that was the who's who of those that are still left. You have plenty that's out of it now. I'm wondering how long before more people decide they're going to dump out, like Rick Santorum. How long does he hang in there? How long does Newt Gingrich hang in before he says, forget it? Forget it. I'm not going to get this money, do these fundraisers, have this PAC going, and know that I'm looking at the polls and I'm being advised that this is not going to happen for me. Michelle Bachmann, I think, hangs in this to the end. I mean, there's the thing. How many people are going to hang around and hang on to this thing until the very last minute, until somebody says boo first? Romney, of course, because he's still ahead in all the polls. Now you've got Rick Perry. How much juice does Rick Perry have? He's got a lot with some people that have money, with deep pockets. Can he gain any traction around the country? There's no doubt he wears Texas on his sleeve. He's pro-gun. He is also somebody who's going to talk about business a lot because of what's happened in Texas, the successful things that have worked in Texas. And anybody with any business background or anybody that wants to be the president is going to talk about jobs and the economy. That's the number one issue, hands down. Absolutely the number one issue. So you have Obama on his heels. He's on the counteroffensive. And the economy is absolutely dithering on the vine. I mean, it's wilting, let's face it. And some of his big-time backers are also backing away. Now you have new blood in the Republican race, and I would consider the former Utah Governor John Huntsman among those that's gaining a little bit of traction, because you ask even some of the Democratic strategists who could be tricky for Obama, and Huntsman's name comes up. Romney comes up, too. But you definitely get Huntsman. Isn't it interesting? So many people thought the Mormon thing would hurt both of those candidates. And maybe it still does. But yet when you talk to the people who are trying to have the president, having to get Barack Obama elected again, they keep pointing to their biggest concerns being Romney and, yeah, Huntsman, too. His name comes up a lot. So while Obama works his way through Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois, and now you've got this presidential race on the Republican side where you have all of the candidates, the ones who are still left standing, refusing to support any kind of a deal with tax increases, even if the tax revenues were outweighed, because this has been said, 10 to 1 by spending cuts. So the president is hanging on to that like a rabid dog, and that's going to be part of the push. Like, you have to be kidding me that even if it's 10 to 1, they're not budging on this. What more do you want? That's the stuff that he's going to continue to say, that he's frustrated and that he doesn't understand how people think government is holding us back, because that's not true. And he's going to stick to that the people that are running against him are playing politics, and also that Congress is playing politics ahead of the country's best interests. And he's going to continue to say voters need to look at this and pay attention to what's really happening. I mean, I'll say this again. I've said it over and over again. I'm for a flat tax. How about a flat tax? What if you take a flat tax and you cut out some of this ridiculous spending, right? Just go there. If you go there, maybe it's a little painful in the beginning. I think it evens out. And to me, flat tax, or I know fair tax is a little bit different. I'm going to say flat tax. If you had a flat tax, then isn't that fair across the board? And jobs. There has to be some job creation here. We keep talking about the who's blaming who and all this stuff, and isn't it your fault that we're in the hole? Who's going to step out of the light and share the fact that, you know, let's really focus on jobs, not just talk about it. It's easy to say, we need more jobs in this country and the stimulus didn't work. And well, then how are you getting those jobs? What are the tax incentives for the companies? There has to be tax incentives. I'm sorry. If they're getting them overseas, they're going to continue to do that. They're going to continue to go overseas. The idea in business is to turn a profit. So this is a capitalist world, or economy, ours anyway. So if they're getting crucified at home with outrageous tax rates, what do you think they're going to do? If there's any way possible to ship some of the business in a different direction, of course they're going to ship it in a different direction. That's what's going to happen. One quick one. I said this was odds and ends, and of course I got on my Kate soapbox and went off on the whole political thing and the follow-up to what the president had to say around on his bus tour. This is scary, though. We talked about Fukushima a lot. They're saying radiation from Japan actually did reach the West Coast. Some scientists are saying that. A lot of you called in, were concerned, talked about it. But they're saying that the damage that happened in the tsunami, even though it was low amounts of radioactive iodine, showed up in, we know this, in other parts of the country, particularly on the West Coast. And even though it's small, you have a couple of scientists who are saying, absolutely, you take the instruments, you look, you got some particles, there is some radiation. Ooh, stay with us. Don Morrow next.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's one world, W-H-E-Y.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. I am so thrilled to welcome this man to our show. He is the golden throat. I mean, this man's voice has been on everything. Plus, he was an actor, too. You might remember Don Morrow as the Shell Answer Man. You remember the Shell Answer Man, the free booklets, all that stuff? Okay, but that's nothing. He's done a ton of other things. He even was the guy doing the commercials for the Titanic. Remember James Cameron's huge hit, the Titanic? Remember the booming voices on the commercials? That would be Mr. Morrow as well. Plus, he's done all kinds of narration on A&E, Biography Channel. I watch that one a lot. You know, I'm a huge history fan. The History Channel, PBS. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. The list is so long. So long. So, and plus, besides that, he also co-authored The Forsaken Heroes of the Pacific War, dynamite book about a 106-year-old World War II vet who sadly, Doc Brown, although what a long life, died just today. So how apropos that this is when we get to, a chance to speak to Don Morrow. Don, we are again humbled by your presence on America Tonight. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I'm overwhelmed.
That's sweet of you to say that.
No, it's very sweet of you to say all those things that I've tried to forget about. No, I'm kidding because they were all wonderful jobs. Titanic was a wonderful job, and God knows the show Answer Man, which was one of the great jobs of all time. 7 years on that one.
Yeah.
Actually, I worked for Cameron that long on Titanic because there were so many ancillary things that went on with that even after it came out, you know? So that was a hell of a good job, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us, I mentioned Doc Brown. Tell us about Doc Brown and what kind of a man he was. What was he like? Your friendship really spanned for a while with him. And like I said, that book was tremendous. It really laid everything out for anybody who read it. And you can still, of course, get it today. But tell us about what was so special about this guy.
Okay, well, Doc Brown, first of all, up until yesterday morning, was the oldest living survivor of the Bataan Death March. And he was also the oldest living veteran of World War II. But he succumbed yesterday morning at 10:20 a.m. He was 2 months and 10 days shy of 106. He was a fabulous guy. I met him originally at the Hollywood Y out in Los Angeles. And we became friends. There was a funny way we met. They were looking for a couple of old guys to shoot some baskets for the Today Show. They were doing a special on seniors, you know. And so they picked me and they picked Doc. And when they dragged me into the basketball court, he was standing in the middle of the court popping them in from mid-court. I'd never seen anything like that, you know. And this guy, he was 81 at the time. I was only 60 then. And I was just amazed at this guy. Well, as the years went on, I got to know him better. He played a hard game of handball, where most everybody else by then was playing racquetball. He was playing handball, which I used to play, too, at the New York City Y up on 63rd Street. And handball is a much tougher game, really, than racquetball, I should say. And Doc still could, at the age of 95, he still beat everybody around there. I mean, it was amazing. And then at 95, he got pneumonia. And so his daughter took him to her B&B in Pinckneyville, Illinois. That's about 70 miles southeast of St. Louis, and that's where he had been up till this past year when she put him in the nursing home, which he didn't mind at all because there were a lot of ladies in the nursing home, and Brownie always liked the ladies. So he was a pilot before the war. He owned an airline out in Iowa, and then he learned to fly after he bought the airline, little airline, you know, a couple of planes. And he was a dentist. He had been an incredible athlete as a kid. High school and college, he was four-letter band in each. And he was the captain of the Creighton University basketball team as well, which was very famous. And he put a team together afterwards that beat the Harlem Globetrotters, the most famous basketball team of all time. Anyway, he was a fabulous guy, and being ROTC, he got called into the Army in 1937, and he was already 32 years old with a family with three kids, but you know, if you're ROTC, they call you, you go, that's it,
and
he's in.
Yeah.
And he was in the Philippines by midsummer of 1941 before the war hit, and they were having a pretty good time over there in the Philippines. A lot of these guys had brought their families over. He was thinking of bringing his family over, even though the specter of the rising sun was coming up very hard and fast at the time. Well, America was, as far as the troops in the Philippines went, were so under-equipped, it was pathetic. And when the Japanese invaded, they just had literally nothing to resist with. Their weaponry was World War One. Their equipment was World War One. Their uniforms, their helmets were all World War One. So they weren't in very good shape to fight. And then, of course, they thought they were going to be the aggressors, and the Japanese just overwhelmed them, and they had to retreat down the Bataan Peninsula. And then they were surrendered in April of 42, and they were all, 90% of them were already dying of starvation then.
Yeah. And did he tell you how rough that was on that Bataan death march, what that was, what that must have been like?
Well, he did, yes. In our book, that's been dealt with so much by far better writers than I that we just use his words in the book. And he, it's not that he underplays, but he didn't overplay it either. But certainly you would get the idea from the book that it was the most horrific thing that ever happened in any of our wars. Probably the most horrific thing that happened in any war of anyone's lifetime, as far as that goes. America had put artesian wells along that route.
Mm-hmm.
All the way, every mile, they were not allowed to have one drink from those wells on the entire march. And every now and then some guy would break from the crowd and try to get a drink, and they just got beheaded, or they got stabbed, or they got shot. One
yeah.
of the three. So they lost about 40% of the guys on that march.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen other things. I was thinking maybe Sunday morning, the CBS Morning Show did a thing on Doc, and just incredible. It was incredible that he, as you said, as you were describing when you first met him, how athletic he was and how you'd never know, it was unbelievable with squash, etc. He was like an ageless guy, wasn't he, until the very, very end?
He was. In fact, we, Kevin, my co-author, and I took him to the, 4 years ago, that would have been in 2007, we took him to the annual get-together of the Battling Bastards of Bataan, Corregidor, and Mindanao. And he was declared there as the oldest survivor of it, you know.
Yeah.
And these guys were fabulous. We talked to so many of these guys. They were mostly in their 90s. There were some in their 80s. And there was nobody there over 100 except Doc. But these guys were the healthiest looking guys you ever saw. Now there's only about 400 of them left now.
Yeah.
But they had such great senses of humor, and they were so proud of their military past. See, these guys had been told at the end of the war to not talk about their internment, to never talk about it. They were ordered that. And so for years they kept it contained. But most of them couldn't stand to even sleep in their beds when they got home. They couldn't eat the food. They had been so abused and constricted during those 3.5 years in the camps, that they couldn't normalize again after the war. But the ones that have survived it and that are still coming to those annual conventions are fabulous, fabulous guys. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We're speaking with, of course, legendary Don Morrow. In fact, Don, can you hang on through with us for a little tiny break, and we're going to come right back?
My pleasure.
All right, voiceover king Don Morrow. We're going to be back with more here on ATN.
Hi, folks. This is Steve Shank and Babs Rosberg here with eFoods Direct. July is over, and our customers love the Freedom Food Giveaway.
Thanks to all of you who registered for the giveaway, and congratulations to the winners who were from Kentucky, North Carolina, Minnesota, and California. They all received a one-year supply of food free.
And now we launch into August with a big celebration, our 30-year anniversary in the long-term storable food business.
Golly, it's hard to believe we've been helping people with the best food on the planet for three decades.
Folks, to celebrate, you can get our premier one-year Freedom Food Supply for 30% off.
Wow, that's lower than 1981 prices.
Help us celebrate 30 years and get the lowest price ever on a one-year Freedom Supply. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/freedom. This is a limited-time offer. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/freedom. Call 800-250-1857.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We're back with Don Mora, of course, talking and reminiscing about really just a terrific guy in Doc Brown and what, you know, what he meant and what he was like physically, and the fact that he was the oldest survivor. You think of the Bataan Death March, and Don did such a great job in describing what that was like, and many of us who, some of us are too young to remember, but had it in history class, have seen it come alive through various films that have been made, including the more recent one that Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg did. Did you catch that, Don? Did you see the Hanks
theory,
Spielberg?
I did see that. I frankly didn't think that much of it because it was just a repetition of battle scenes that we've seen over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
If people are really interested in the Bataan Death March, there's a couple of books they should really read besides this one, which only takes about 2 hours to read. Mm-hmm. But Laura Hillenbrand, who wrote Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called Unbroken. Laura goes into what happens to these people very, very deeply. I mean, it's brutal beyond belief. A lot of people wouldn't be able to read it because of that, because they, you know, talk about something that really is gory. And she wrote about a particular guy also, a real-life character named Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic runner. He ran at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, in fact. And the Japanese knew that when they captured him, and they brutalized him for that reason. They made him run races after they'd beaten him up. And I mean, her story about this guy is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I've heard that because that's a recent book.
Tears in the Darkness by Michael and Elizabeth Norman. And that's about a guy named Ben Steele, who is a professor out in Montana, an art professor, and he's 96. And he's still going strong. There's something about these guys that survived it. They are stronger than the average person and live longer. It may have been that diet. I don't know. I mean, you know, they were starved to death, these guys.
Sure. As you said, 3.5 years. And that's, you know, her title of her book says it all, Unbroken, just crazy. And that's as I was saying, that's a fairly new book, too. And that's a good one to recommend. I'm glad that you did that.
Both of those are fabulous books.
Yeah.
I mean, they really go into the death march. And
you get a better sense. Mm-hmm.
We don't go into the brutalization that deeply. There's a lot of light moments in our book because Doc had a great sense of humor.
Don, we would be remiss not to ask you about your career. As I said, you are a voiceover king, and you certainly still are working. What did you think when you first got into the business that it would lead to all the things that it led to for you?
I had no idea where it would lead. But what I did know from the very first day was how much I loved it. And I teach, and I tell my students or potential students, if you don't absolutely love this more than anything, then don't waste your money on it. Don't bother. Because there's a lot of, you know, as you well know.
Sure.
As anybody in this business knows, there's a lot of resistance to getting that first job. And it's just like there's a lot of resistance to putting out your first book.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe if you're a brain surgeon, maybe there's a lot of resistance to the first brain surgery. I don't want the guy who's never operated on anybody doing me, I'll tell you that.
I would agree with you, absolutely. You know, as your career went on and spanned all kinds of different things, one of the things is you became a Cronkite, I can barely say it, Uncle Walter's announcer on the Sunday news special. I met him one time and he was very gracious, and this was many years ago, but you worked with him, so to speak. What was he like?
Walter was just one of the greatest guys you could ever want to meet. And it's interesting that I never knew Walter's politics until 50 years later. And Walter, and Britt Hume was remarking about Walter recently on the air and saying that nobody in the industry knew what Walter's politics were, because Walter was from the old school of journalism where you reported the story. You didn't try to slant it. So I spent a lot of time with Walter. We closed up Toots Shores in New York every Sunday night, or really Monday morning. And we talked about everything in the world, I thought, but I guess we never really got into politics. Funny.
Yeah, how interesting. Another interesting person that you worked with, and you must have known a little bit, was Jackie Gleason. I still can look at his old clips and laugh out loud. Was he that funny off the air?
Well, other than seeing Gleason in Toots Shores every Sunday, I did the last show that he, the last series of shows, that he did in New York. And you don't go up and meet Jackie Gleason. You don't get friendly with Jackie Gleason. I would not even assume to. But when he brings you out on the stage, he acts as if you're his best friend, which, of course, is for an announcer, that's a marvelous thing to get a great intro, you know, as you can imagine. And it, at least to the audience, it looks like you're his best friend for a minute anyway. But I didn't get to know Jackie Gleason per se, other than that initial handshake and that's it.
Yeah.
That's as close as I got to Jackie.
Yeah. You go from things like that where you're doing the announcing to you also had hosting jobs at a couple of different networks where you were doing game shows. You were hosting game shows.
Yeah, I did some game shows. The first one was called Camouflage. at ABC, and then I did one at for Merv Griffin at NBC called Let's Play Post Office. And then I had something that was actually kind of worthwhile in an ABC show called Science All-Stars, which was not a game show, where we took the science winners, the National Science Fair winners, and we would put them on. If somebody was in rocketry, we would have Wernher von Braun as the adult guest, so to speak. And I would interview these people. And I mean, my ability to read off the teleprompter was pretty good by then, so it looked like I knew what I was talking about, even if I didn't. But I thought that show was you know, really something worthwhile. That was on for a couple of years on ABC.
Yeah. What was your...
But I had one out of Dallas that I really loved doing with Dizzy Dean, a syndicated radio show just like yours.
Yeah.
And that was 1950.
Mm. And Dizzy Dean and you became pretty good friends, I would imagine, because didn't he take you to New York? Didn't he tell you to come to New York?
Yeah, that's how I got to New York. Dizzy got me to quit my job down there in Dallas at WFAA and move to New York. And I'd saved up during the couple of years $500. And in 2 weeks, I blew it in New York.
But that was pretty
easy.
Dizzy
bought a drink, I bought a drink. And we were hanging out with a Yankee ball club up there in the Bronx at the Grand Concourse Hotel. And I got to meet everybody on the Yankee ball club. And it was a great thrill, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I was with him for, 2 or 3 months before the job that Dizzy thought he had for me fell through. But then he got me another one with McClendon Station down there, KLIF in
sure.
Oak Cliff.
Sure.
I don't know if that's who owns it now, but anyway, Gordon McClendon was called the Old Scotchman, and he had a network of stations across the country. So Dizzy got me a job with Gordon, and I was there for another year before I started to work with the networks and so forth.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time left, but I got to ask you this question. Who was, of all the famous people that you've worked with, that you've met, who was your favorite? Who's your favorite, Don?
Who's my favorite? Well, somebody, I guess my favorite hang-around pal was a guy I met there in Dallas in 1949 on WFAA when Margot Jones Theater was Theater 49, is what it would have been called then. His name was Jack Warden, and he had not yet done his first movie. And, but then he came to New York after, and he was on Broadway, and then he got into films and did films and series and so forth. And I was with Jack right up until his death about 4 or 5 years ago. We spent a lot of time with each other on both coasts.
Yeah, and he, of course, famous, I'm trying to think, people would know what, Dragnet?
No, he was with NYPD, the original one in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But he did a lot of, then he was Jigsaw John, and he had a bunch of series, you know.
Yeah.
Played a lot of cops and detectives and so forth through the years.
Yeah, I remember that. What a pleasure. Voice-over guru, Don Morrow, thanks so much for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Don.